You want some sexy? You want to laugh? Licensed to Talk.
Licensed to Talk is brought to you by First in Buffalo. Fireman owned and operated. Custom apparel. Custom hats. 389 Abbott Road. Get your custom gear at First in Buffalo. Dog Ears Bookstore. Stop into the cafe and bookstore and enjoy a welcoming hometown atmosphere, all while supporting programs that spread creativity and literacy throughout South Buffalo and beyond. Don't get your coffee from Timmy when you can get it from Tommy. Charlie's Boatyard, 1111 Furman Boulevard. Come and enjoy a nice cold drink and a beautiful sunset.
Hello.
Yeah.
What's
Hi,
up?
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. Not too bad. It's been really hot over on this side, and my apartment doesn't have air, so kind of just sweating all morning, you know.
Oh, usual boo.
Day.
I'm in a beanie. Have my thermostat to 64.
You know what I'm saying? Always laugh. I'll call and like complain to my siblings. I'm like, oh my god, it's 72 today. Like, I'm freezing, and everyone's like, did you forget that it's just 30 degrees all the time in Buffalo?
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
I have peppermint oil on my shoulder right now from shoveling.
Oh no, that's horrible. Sorry, I'll stop rubbing it in. I'm just kidding. It's horrible weather over here.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah. Jim's gonna be our host.
Hello. How are you?
Awesome. Hi, Jim. I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah. Jim does a good job of pushing everything along. All right. I'm pushing record here. Let Jim take over.
All right. You ready?
Awesome.
I think we sound good. All right. We obviously sound good. All right. We definitely sound good. Okay.
All right, Marky. Episode 88. We're here with Meredith Vivian. She's located in Los Angeles. She's an actress, a writer, and director. Her current short coming out is called Overturn. And welcome to the program, Meredith.
Yeah, sorry if we call movies for you guys in L.A. It's a film.
No, don't worry. I hate the pretentious. You can call it whatever you want to call them. And thank you guys so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Well, Meredith, we get right into it. When did you realize I got to get out of Buffalo and I got to start getting into this business?
Well, I think honestly from, I don't know, when I was very young, I knew that I definitely wanted to pursue something in the arts. I went to a theater of youth children's camp when I was like probably 7, and ever since just very much caught the bug. I always played sports and stuff, but I was never particularly great at that. So I kind of definitely focused on theater, especially in high school. And then when I graduated high school, I went to Loyola Chicago for college and I majored in theater there. And then pretty shortly after, I moved to LA about, I think like 8 months after I had graduated. And then the rest was kind of history, but I definitely miss Buffalo a lot. I go home quite often to see friends and family, but, you know, at the same time, LA has the most to offer for that type of industry. So I've definitely created a nice little community out here. And now I've been here for 7 years, which flew by, truly.
Are you in a group that has a name?
Yeah, everybody's got a group now.
That has a name. No.
like, oh my God, I wish we have like a group chat and we're called Dweebs, but like, that's not that fun yet. I got to get more creative. Damn.
No, they always said what George Carlin said, don't ever join a group that has a name.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't do it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it seems like
good. I feel glad that I'm not.
You see a lot of these, and what have we come up with? Emotional reels almost, Marky?
Yeah.
Is that what they're
like when you do it on Instagram and stuff?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of people, pretty much anytime you submit yourself like for an audition or anything, you first have a headshot and then you also have a reel or a tape or something that they can click on for like, honestly, half the time they're only watching for about 20 seconds. So you have to give kind of the best you've got. And then, yeah, a lot of times people will post, like, I like to post different scenes from shows and stuff that I like on Instagram. And it's kind of a fun way to interact with different casting directors, or especially like casting directors on the other side of the country that you might not get to see unless it's virtual. And especially on TikTok, I see a lot of people doing their thing there, which is definitely super fun.
Right. Like, so you've been a part of like a ton of these pictures. What made you want to do it all with the directing and everything with this social campaign you put together to raise some money to get your overturned made?
Yeah. So since I had moved here, I had been on the other side, like acting in things or even helping produce a couple things with friends. But I knew that I really, really wanted to take on a big feat. Just for myself. And I wanted to do it before I turned 30. And I turned 30 on December 8th. And I filmed this on December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So I was like, I have got to get this done in my 20s. So I can be like, look, I did it in my 20s. I'm so proud of myself. But essentially, it kind of came down to watching other people that I admired and other friends that are filmmakers do it on their own. I was like, okay, if they can do it, I can do it, and just put in the work, be proud of myself. And so I started writing a script, and I wrote that for about, I don't know, a few months. And then a couple of my friends and I, we had a writing group that we would meet every Tuesday. And I had kind of proposed the idea of like, hey, look, I really want to get this done before I turn 30. Are you guys down to help me? And then, the four of us kind of worked from there. And then it was my first project that really had any sort of a budget. And that was a really wild realization for me of just how quickly things go. Like, you want to rent a nice camera, that's going to cost you $4,000. You want to rent a nice location, that's going to cost you $3,000. And I just really did not think that that was going to be the case. So it was a very, very, very huge learning lesson for me. But now, after completing it, I feel like I can kind of take on anything, which has been the goal at the end of it all, was to learn more and be more confident in my skills. And now I'm kind of like, all right, bring it on. I'm ready.
Nice.
So you and the dweebs get together and you write this stuff down, and then does each person take like one role to like be like, oh, I've done this before, you know? Like,
yeah, absolutely. It's funny because actually now I'm laughing because I'm like, wait, maybe I am in a couple groups with names.
Yeah, we were looking at each other.
Oh, shit, this is embarrassing. Well, the group that we were meeting like weekly, that group is called the Future Oscar Winners Club. So we were meeting every week. And so everybody in the group, one of the girls is a friend of mine from college that she also did theater with me. And she predominantly here is a producer now. And then two of the other girls, one I met like 4 years ago in a film that she had directed me in. And then another girl I had met when she directed a web series that I wrote a few years ago. So when we combined everybody, it was kind of like, okay, one girl had very much dealt with contracts before. So our production was union, so SAG-AFTRA. So she had to do all the contracts with that. And then another girl had very much focused primarily on location scouting and casting. And another girl was definitely more on like the creative side of reworking the script and doing the shot list with the director of photography. So it was really nice. And then kind of being in the director position, I dabbled in all of it and learned, you know, kind of assisted each person with getting those things done and just overseeing the general production to make sure everything was flowing nicely. So that was really nice because now I have, you know, dabbled in each one of those areas in a way that I had knew nothing about before. Like, I didn't even know what a producer was supposed to do before this. And honestly, even after it, that is a role that there is not a clear outline. I still actually don't really know what a producer is supposed to do. But yeah, it was amazing. Everyone was kind of delegated into a different sort of subject of the production. And then we went from there.
Yeah. So this is not DIY. This is like real.
Like, yeah. Well, exactly. This was my first one on my end that had been not DIY. Like I had made a bunch of shorts before with friends, whether, you know, using a, if somebody has a very cheap camera or just using your iPhone and editing it together. But this one was honestly the real deal, which was very, very cool to accomplish something like that. And now we're in post-production and just seeing the footage and seeing how worth it all the time and effort and money and everything that went into it is just really awesome. So I'm really looking forward to the final product being done.
And you bring up SAG. One of the things that I think people that aren't in the know don't realize what this AI is bringing and what the plan was with AI. I swear to God, I told him the other day, George, there's a George Carlin AI special out. And it's him.
Oh, I believe but that.
We've talked to your buddy and our buddy, Lou Mostello, and that's one of the things that really bothered him. And I don't know if you how does it go with the SAG? What was your views on everything? Because you were definitely
So I'm a member of the union, and then when basically the contracts were up, so they had the opportunity to present things that they wanted to change in order to protect the actors in the union. And there was a multitude of things that came up, such as pay, which I think is really interesting because a lot of people have this idea of, you know, you have your Leonardo DiCaprio's and your Meryl Streep's, you have people that are making tons and tons and tons of money. However, 85% of people in the SAG union do not make the minimum to get health insurance. And the minimum to get health insurance is $25,000 a year. So 85% of those actors are not making $25,000 a year in the union. So that was very interesting because the contracts were very much changing of like how much you could get paid if you were a co-star or a guest star or even background work, because it's the rate that you're getting for what they're able to do with your likeness should be so much higher. If you work one day on set and let's say you get $300, sure, great. But then they can use that forever. They can do whatever they want with it, manipulate it. So it's like, why are you only getting that amount when you can keep my likeness forever? $25,000 worth of my likeness, you know? And then now the AI thing is obviously we're on a whole new technological landscape, especially than we were the last time the contract was up. So now with AI, as you've seen, you know, you go on TikTok, Instagram, things are morphed in a way that it's hard to even decipher what's real anymore. It'll be, you know, a political or public figure saying something crazy. Or I saw this video that looked exactly like Tom Cruise talking about stuff, dancing, and it wasn't him. And it's like, how are we entering that sphere where you can take somebody's likeness and do whatever you want and just attribute it to them? So especially in the union with these public figures that are very popular, people can take whatever and say whatever they want. And that is so scary to not have any sort of protection for that. And even on a smaller scale, like I had mentioned with the background work, they were doing a thing where basically, let's say you showed up for background work on one day and you get the day rate for, let's say you got $300 that day, they will then just use your likeness in any movie, any show. So if you did background work for a Marvel movie, they could now just use you for any other movie. So now eventually we reach a point where they don't need any background actors, because everything is just AI. It's a scary landscape. Exactly. Well, even that, like, you know, I go on TikTok and it'll be like, oh, a new Beatles song that they just wrote. And it sounds like a Beatles song that was created, you know, in the 60s. But it's somebody that created it from their laptop yesterday. So it's like just a very interesting time to say, like, that artists and people in the public sphere don't necessarily have any protection over that. That was a huge conversation with the contracts, and they came to an agreement that seemed like it was relatively okay for now, but it's not really taking any protocols and precautions for technology advancing in the future. So I think it'll have to be something that just continually gets readdressed.
Well, like I always say, they made a movie called Terminator 2. That's all you got to say. Exactly. Yeah, I don't have to explain it after that.
Exactly. No, you're spot on.
You just got to win. I don't think that AI can write like the bond between a mother and a child. You know, like they might do an all right job, but it's probably going to be pretty disconnected. And like now it's your job to, you know, kind of be better. It's kind of challenging, right? Is it if it's totally. It's already not even hard enough.
That's why we talk to real actresses like you. And I've noticed you kind of jump around the genres. I've seen you in horror stuff, and then you kind of made me laugh on Silver Service, by the way. I was laughing at that short.
So, oh my gosh. I forgot about that. I'm like, oh no, where is that? You too, I think. You're right.
Well, you got me. I was like, what the? Okay. And then I was laughing my ass off. But
yeah. Oh my God, I'm dead. I'll have to send you some more shit too.
So, I mean, have you settled down to what genre you're going with? Because you've won awards for the horror film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a
yeah,
film.
Definitely.
I don't know. Yeah.
with the film. yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny. At this point, you know, it's like at this stage in my career, I'll do anything. Someone wants to put me in a comedy, down. Drama, down. Hallmark movie, down. But if I was like doing a dream role, I love any kind of dark, gritty horror drama, anything that A24 or Neon produces, any sort of independent film I think is very fun. And I've done a couple shorts in that genre and have had a lot of success with that in various LA film festivals. And then next I have, so last in 2022, wow, I keep forgetting it's 2024. Oh my goodness. In 2022, I did a film called Abigail that was a horror that we shot in San Francisco. And I'm just in it for the opening scene. So I was there for, I think, like 2 or 3 days on set. And that was really, really fun. That definitely like made me catch the bug of horror, because it's, you know, it's fun makeup. We did overnight shoots, so I would have to be on set at 7 p.m. and then I would work till 7 a.m. and then we would go back to the hotel and kind of have off until like 4 p.m. and I was just like, okay, this is feels like kind of very true glamorous actor lifestyle to kind of like be in the thick of it like that. And then those people, that production company is called Mooncastle Productions, and they are filming another feature called Regression, and they asked me to be the lead in that. So we are filming in April in Louisiana, and that is I'm very, very thrilled about. It's a script, a horror script about this girl who basically starts going to therapy and then starts seeking out more experimental therapy. And she does these past life regression sessions, which is essentially the idea that it's almost like Buddhism, like reincarnation, that you've lived a bunch of past lives. And every time you're put back on the earth to learn a new lesson. And so this girl starts doing that and sort of opens a portal to something not so great, kind of like the Conjuring universe. And so, yeah, that is definitely it's what I love to watch. It's what I love to be in. But at the same time, I will say, like, after filming Overturned, which isn't necessarily a horror, but it's definitely a dark genre thriller, a little bit of horror. And we filmed that for 3 days in a row for 3 12-hour days. And by the end, you do kind of have to mentally recheck yourself, go home, watch some Tim Robinson, watch something goofy, because it is like by the end you're like, I cannot just sit in this like darkness for the next, you know, 8 hours that I have a break. So I will be very, very interested, because with Regression we're filming for the entire month of April, and I'm pretty sure I'll be on like 5 days on then maybe a day or two off. So it's kind of an interesting, you got to come up with a strategy of how can I clock out essentially after work and leave behind all this, you know, weird creative play drama situation and just totally check out. But at the end of the day, that is definitely the genre that is my favorite for sure.
Are you, so you're like very fortunate that like you have, you can just do this as work, right?
That's- yeah, that's what I've been. I do that. And I do a lot of voiceover work has also been what a very steady, stable thing for me. Where,
we've had,
you know,
people
acting,
on that. We've had people on that.
That
say
do voiceover?
Yeah.
Oh, we sat with this guy that we had no idea he was the voice at HBO Boxing in the back of Hoppers. Drinking,
no,
and he's like, Lennox Lewis is the king of the ring. We're like, wait a minute, what?
And then Keith Brewer is like the guy that does Danielle Steele.
Yeah, Keith Brewer.
Yeah, we had him on.
God.
Yeah,
wait,
these guys
amazing.
Are like, yeah, voiceover work is like where it's at.
Keith,
yeah,
he was,
it's amazing.
He was in the movie Stepmom too. And I don't know if you know that movie with Kathleen Turner.
Oh, yeah, I do.
He's in it. And he played the Irish Fest in South Buffalo. Please. That's how we got to know him. And then he turns out to be this Danielle Steele guy. And it's crazy.
You're like, what can't this guy do? Look at him go. Yeah.
But like I mentioned that because I see like people turn these things into like they do acting like, I don't know, like Lauren Lapkus. Like they just had like the Wild Horses thing, you know? And they, like, made money doing it. And then, like, Natalie Palamides and Courtney Poruso, they, like, put, like, shows together where they have to, like, make – and they, like, put it on, like, in a theater, you know, like
– yeah.
They had to turn it into something, like, where they made money, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the thing, too, that's kind of, like, interesting to navigate because when you're – on the actor side, you know, you're getting paid a day rate, depending on what that is. Like if the project is union, there's rates it has to be. And then that kind of goes up in scale based on the budget of the film. But being also like the writer director. So with Overturned, it's kind of like, you don't know, like theoretically you're not going to make anything, but at the same time, if it gets into South by Southwest or if it gets into Sundance or Tribeca and you screen there and someone loves the idea of it, someone can buy the rights from that and then you do make money. But it's just a scary kind of landscape, especially when you start getting up into bigger budget things. But you know, a lot of people that are investing in those films, it isn't necessarily a problem to throw in 100,000, which obviously that would be amazing. But now it's like, you know, anything that you're putting in, $100 goes a really long way, but it's at the end of the day, you're probably not going to see that again. It's more of just something that now you have under your name and hopefully it gets some recognition to open more doors for you. But yeah, anything I have made money off of has been someone else casting me in something. And then, yeah, a lot of the voiceover work. It's funny, I actually do a ton for Buffalo. Like I do all of the Wegmans commercials and the Transitown commercials.
Because you have our accent.
Because you have an accent.
Yeah,
you have
our accent. Literally. It's funny when I audition for stuff here, and especially when I'm like talking to other people from Buffalo, it just very much is settling in. Like I have to do a whole other accent when I'm doing something else. I'm like, it's so strong, but I love it, of course.
You got to go to the garage.
Yeah. Well, that's why I love hanging out with Lou Mastillo too. He's got the great Buffalo accent, LA actor. He's got it going. I love it.
The reason we lost that game is because the helicopter pushed the ball over the top of the field goal. Boom.
Yeah, he's feel at home. Guy. He's a fast guy.
And I've noticed, and I've watched, I don't know, probably 8-9 things a year over the past couple of days, a lot of eye acting. Is that running the family?
It must. I guess so. I just can't help myself. Come on.
Yeah, you're good with your eyes. I mean that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's funny because that you say that because in the we shot a teaser trailer for Regression, the one that we're filming in April for like different investors, and there was a bunch of shots of like just close-ups on my eyes. And every time I saw them, I'm like, okay, this is getting creepy. I can like see my contacts in there.
So for your films, like any of the festivals that accept them, that's like a win, right? Like what would be like what's like one that you really want, like on a small goal?
Yeah, definitely. Well, the one that we really, really want to get into is South by Southwest, which is in Austin every year. And South by is definitely one that's, you know, Sundance and a lot of the other bigger ones seem to be pretty political in that you'll get in if you know somebody on the board or if you've shown before, or if you're obviously an A-list celebrity, where South by has that. At the same time, they also take on a lot of new creators, people that are pushing the envelope, things that might not necessarily be shown in a conventional theater. And they have every year at their festival, they have a block of shorts called the Midnight Short section. And they're shorts that are either like very horror, again, very pushing the envelope, controversial, gory, those kinds of things. And they always are the block that have the most amount of people go see. And it's the most talked about things at the festival. And I really think that Overturned could definitely find a home there. So that's one that we're very, very, very much hoping for. And I hope that I can come back in a few months and listen to this back and say, yay, we did get in. But it's kind of hard because now being in post-production, the submissions for that don't open until September. So we do kind of have a little bit of a waiting game now, because a lot of these festivals have rules where you cannot have shown your film before. It has to be premiere only at their festival. So I'd probably kind of hold on to it until we got any word from there. Mm-hmm. But then if we didn't get into any of the big ones, definitely there's a lot of amazing ones in LA, amazing ones in New York. I actually, Overturned got a grant from the Buffalo International Film Festival, which was super cool. So we'll definitely apply there. Yeah, it was amazing. They have, they do a screening and stuff at the North Park Theater on Hurdle. And it was just very, very cool, especially that theater is very old timey and classic, and they do a great job. And so I definitely also obviously want my stuff to screen there and come back to my hometown.
Awesome. Speaking of shorts, did you see the Pauly Shore, Richard Simmons short that was at Sundance?
No, I didn't. What is it about?
He
just plays Pauly Shore.
Pauly Shore plays Richard Simmons.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Oh, I need to watch. I'm going to write that down.
The Ringmaster? Is that what it's called? I don't know. Something. He's funding it to make it a full feature film. And he actually does a really good job of it. But, I mean, and that's a big level. He's still hustling doing that thing. That even totally. a young Meredith Vivian's doing the same thing. Even he has to do that, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the thing too that I have slowly started to take note. Like I'm like, I had this image in my head that almost, you know, you get one thing done and then the rest is smooth sailing. But you hear it even from, you know, I love Greta Gerwig or Karen Kusama, a bunch of different female directors, and they say all the time that they'll have this very successful film and then it's still fighting tooth and nail to get Warner Brothers or Focus Features or whoever production company you want on your team. So it's just kind of a never ending grind, which is like, come on, I just want to relax at the Vanity Fair Oscar party. Give me a margarita.
I know, but it seems like you always have to do things soup to nuts. Is that like the competition of it too? Like, do you feel that ever?
Oh my God, yeah. Especially with, you know, I feel like when I first moved here, when you're just sort of getting your grind going, trying to figure out what works, what doesn't work, it's really easy to kind of rely on, I don't know, almost sulking in the competition. For example, when you go out for an audition, it's you against at least 200 other girls, and they all look like you because the breakdown was lifting the exact attributes, physicalities, voice, everything of you. So it's easy to be like, all right, well, I'm just going to count myself out because why would I get it if I'm up against all these other amazing people? And then it's kind of like, all right, well, you're not going to if you're counting yourself out already. But I think I've come to the conclusion that the competition is always going to be there. But as long as you stay focused and creative in your own goals, there's your time is always going to come and there's always going to be room for you. But at the end of the day, yeah, you have to definitely stay on top of your materials, your skills, what you're making, what you're putting out there, because there's a million other people that can fill that role as well.
And you have to have an honest team. Like me and Jim sit here all the time. I'm like, you're not saying that, you know? And he's like, you're probably right. If you don't have somebody
you
like
have
looking
to
at your thing,
put you in your plate.
Yeah, if you're like, no, yeah, this is stupid.
No, that's true, because you'll start to look at your stuff and you're like, I'm amazing. And then you send it over to one person that's actually being honest with you and you're like, okay, yeah, no, you're 100% right. This is not very good.
What
it
would
helps
be
you
your...
stay driven.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah, there's many bad ideas. I mean, Jim and I have tried just about everything, you know, and we try and see what works. But we did have to like kind of turn like our podcast into something else. So we started doing like a comedy show here, you know, and it's like,
yes,
it's tons of fun. And that's like our way of being like, you know,
You could see us on Tuesday, February 27th at Doc Sullivan's. Just a cheap plug.
I keep seeing you guys. The first time I was telling my boyfriend when I first saw the post about it, I was like, what? We need to go back. I need to see a comedy show at Doc Sullivan's. Are you kidding me? We can all go to Molly's after, wherever we want to go. That sounds amazing. That's so cool that you guys are doing that.
Yeah, it's you know, we're actually going to do an open mic this time around, and you know, just include everybody. Be more inclusive. You know, that's. I think
oh
that's
my our, God! Listen, I love the idea.
Merge.
Yeah, but I'm real curious about who's going to step up to the open mic. I cannot wait for that. That's going to be awesome.
Well, I mean, if you really wanted to come with some good ideas to the geeks, I think, you know, you just have to try and find some good Dan Vivian stories. You know, my buddy Al, he's got some good ones. Like, you could just take you could just take real stuff. You'd be like, you guys want to do this? The geeks would be like, no way that happened.
Oh, that didn't happen.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't beat up the mascot at the Bisons game. It's like, no way anybody would do that.
That's every story that comes out. I'm like, no, I don't believe that to be true. I'm sorry. And then I'll look over at my mom, who's like a saint, and she's like, yeah, that happened. And I'm like, no, why are you guys embarrassing me? I love it.
I'll share just one.
Please.
He was saying, some guy said, oh, I'm going to make gravy. And he goes, last time you made gravy, I threw up. And they go, because you filled a pint glass of it and drank it. And he goes, oh, yeah, it was good gravy.
Yeah. That absolutely tracks.
That's comedy gold. The geeks will be ecstatic to write that.
It is comedy gold, just straight drinking gravy, my guy.
Well, everyone says, you know, you got to make a movie about something up out of South Buffalo. We said, well, we don't have the resources really, so we just get people to tell these stories on this podcast, and that's all you get.
Well,
that's all you're getting.
Well, that's what it's literally. I can't tell you the like every day, all the time. I'm like, you could just drop in South Buffalo, pick whoever you want, pick your favorite character, and just make a movie about them. And like Lou Mastillo tell you about how he did a one-man show about Buffalo bartenders? Yeah. And so I'm like, we got to get that going. There's a movie called, did you ever see the movie Buffaloed?
I heard of it.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cute. And it's basically about this girl. who's in her early 20s, and she ends up like conning a bunch of people. But she, it's played by Zoe Deutsch, and it's really, really funny to watch because she's this young girl. Like, it, they're kind of almost implying she's from the ward, like based on how they film her.
I was gonna say
that.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, and then she had. I'm like, oh no, don't get us into trouble here.
You're in LA. What do you have to worry?
Yeah, that's just you guys. I'm like, they said it. but she, it's really funny because she puts on this like very intense like Buffalo accent, and the whole time I'm watching it, the guy, it's written by a guy from Buffalo, but the whole time I was watching it, I was like, oh my god, we need to do something in South Buffalo. Mark my words, we're gonna make that happen. And maybe my Uncle Dan can be the main character. Maybe I'll make him the lead actor in it. Me and him.
Well, he won't. You just got to follow him around and get some good ideas first.
It'd be more like a reality show.
A South Buffalo reality show would be out of control. I don't even know what channel it would be allowed on.
They always say they should do the real world. And I go, someone would die. Yeah. Someone would die.
For sure. Someone would die quickly. Yeah. The first episode.
See, but like, is what you're doing right now, is it like thrifty though? Like, do you have to be like super thrifty with making your own film?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And that's what, with the one that I had just done with a budget, we were definitely able to have more leeway and leniency with what we wanted to do. But other than that, absolutely. You're pulling a long way.
Does it go a long way with like somebody like actually like seeing that you could pull it off with this amount of money?
Yeah.
Like, is that important? Is that an important thing to put when you like enter it into a festival?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, and that's a great point too, because sometimes too, you're up against people who are like, you know, a lot of the NYU graduates who are 22 years old, but they have someone who just gave them $100,000 to make a short. So like, of course, with $100,000, you're able to have all the bells and whistles. But if the content's not there, or the acting's not there, or the editing, you know, whatever it may be, then it doesn't matter. You might have a movie that you spent $5,000 on, and it's just as good because the elements that you lacked, because of the money, you made up for in other areas. There's a movie called, it's a very weird kind of like art house horror that came out this year called Skinamarink. And it became number one. It sounds kind of naughty, but I'm like, I swear it's a regular horror film. but that movie was a full-blown feature, and they spent $15,000, which for a feature is insane. Like, no, that barely covers even the color grading for post-production. But so they had a very, very minimal budget, and they were like number one on a million different lists up against a Marvel movie that's spending, you know, $200 million. So I think at the end of the day, obviously a bigger budget and more money is definitely helpful, but it is kind of cool to challenge yourself and see, what can I do? How can I make these limitations part of my film, part of my tone and genre and what I'm going for?
Yeah, like the Safdie
Brothers. So yeah, we have definitely come up with that. Yeah, yes, like, love like, the Safdie Brothers.
Like, it seems like they just do it real thrifty, or like Emma Seligman or whatever.
Definitely.
She does like everything, like where it's like kind of like how Oppenheimer was. I don't know. It was like suspense with just like, I don't know, camera work or some shit.
Yes. No, oh my god. The Safdie Brothers, I'm obsessed. Now you got me. Now I'm like, oh, I could go on about them for like 10 years. But yeah, they have that, I think it's called Good Time or something, with Robert Pattinson, and it's just like the most intense. Robert Pattinson is always hot. He's never not been hot since Twilight. Come on. Or since Harry Potter, I guess. Definitely, it's kind of fun to like challenge yourself and see, what can I make with that? And you kind of feel even more proud of yourself at the end of, look at what we accomplished with so little comparatively.
Now, other than Lou, have a lot of people say you're always running into people from Buffalo. Have you made any connections because you're from Buffalo out there?
Yeah, I'm trying, like, a lot of the people I know out here that are from Buffalo, I knew either already or I knew through, like, a friend of a friend. I don't think I've necessarily met anybody, especially, you know, like, with the South Buffalo connections, anyone that comes to visit, I meet up with, like, I already knew Lou, and he introduced me actually to another, this girl, Bailey, who now I've been trying to collaborate with a little bit more often. And she went to West Seneca West, which was cool. But anybody that I knew, anybody that I've met, I kind of already knew. But we like to go to the Bills backer bar and, you know, you see people and everybody's in their Bills stuff. But it's funny because you get to talking to somebody and it's like, oh, go Bills. And it's like, oh, yeah, where are you from? Oh, we're from South Buffalo. Where are you from? And it's like, they're from like 4 hours away. Like the amount of people that are just like kind of cosplaying as from Buffalo, which is sort of funny. I'm like, oh, I feel cool that I'm actually from really, truly the 716.
It is really cool. Like Lou's show is so cool. Like that. It's like, it seems like they just do it themselves. You know, they write everything and then they get like big stars.
Cooper's Bar is kind of almost like a, maybe a big goal for you in that kind of way that they make it. Wouldn't you say?
Totally.
Being thrifty or whatnot, you know what I mean?
Well, that whole, like the whole bar in season one, that's Lou's backyard.
Yeah.
I don't know if he, I assume he like probably mentioned that to you, but yeah.
It's
he,
his very proudest asking, thing.
Yeah, he's, I got all my shitskis up there.
I know, I would. The first time I ever saw Lou's backyard, I was like, this is the best thing I've ever, I could go on a vacation here. I'm like taking pictures of it left and right. But
and they
yeah,
only
no,
serve ham
Lou.
Sandwiches. Yeah. Yeah, you want ham? Ham sandwich, nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. But yeah, no, definitely. I think it's really cool to see too. Obviously, I love in season one of Cooper's Bar when he gives his like whole little monologue about, you know, people from Buffalo are real people and they're real neighbors. And it's like, it's so cool and it's funny, but at the same time, it's like, you know, not to get corny, but it's so spot on. There's not really a camaraderie anywhere else I've been that you can see. And like, I love LA, but there's not a sense of that. There's people aren't going to go out of their way to say hi to you. Or, you know, I think in Lou's monologue, he mentions like helping shovel. And especially in South Buffalo, you know, everyone, like my friends from St. Ambrose, their parents went to school with my parents who went to school with their grandparents. And it's just a really cool neighborhood that you can't really find anywhere else.
Yeah, well, and everybody smells like peppermint. Dude,
I'm not helping anybody shovel. I'll tell you that right now. I smell like peppermint oil.
You're like, it's too hot. It's too hot. I'm inhaling this man's.
Yeah. And we always say that we're smart and creative, Meredith, because we only went to school for 4.5 days a week because we got that half day Friday. We're both graduates from St. Ambrose.
Go St. Ambrose. Okay, but do you know that I lost? When I was in fourth grade, they got rid of half-day Fridays.
What? Oh, wow.
Yeah, guys. Guys, it was devastating. It was an amazing couple of years, and then I was screwed from there on up. They realized they weren't making them as smart as they were when you guys were.
We were still going home to school, like for lunch. We were going home for lunch.
You were?
Yeah. It was awesome.
I always dwell on this that grammar school, it was all about religion, but you rotated it with gym. Which made no sense to me.
Yeah, your gym was your cafeteria.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I remember our gym class. This was in like seventh grade, and it was eventually it was co-ed. It was girls and boys, and we would just show up and we'd be like, we don't want to do anything. And our teacher would just be like, okay. And we would all just kind of sit there. I was like, this is the best day of my life. I love gym class. Religion, on the other hand, was a little more difficult.
Yeah, the sum of the songs, jam.
Yeah, some of the songs were good.
Yeah. Some of the songs really slapped, that is for sure.
I could get into some of them.
The Lord of the Dance? Come on. A banger.
Oh, you know who I was seeing a lot of is Talia Ryder, and I didn't know that she was from Buffalo.
Wait, she is?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, my God. I didn't know that either. But I love her because I've seen that.
Your homegirl.
Like, seriously, I've seen her in that Never Rarely Sometimes Always movie, and then she's in a new movie called The Sweet East that looks like really weird and funky.
Yeah,
she's amazing. Holy
it's
shit,
like that MTV VJ, the first
it's
one.
Which one?
Like, yeah, he's like the first VJ on MTV, the guy that's in the movie with her.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Adam so Curry. it looks really interesting.
Yeah, I know. I looked it up and it was like, and then I never wanted to go back to Buffalo again. The end. I'm famous.
Then whatever. We want to go back to Buffalo, so that's fine.
So you're in post-production of this. When do you plan on having your film out?
Yeah, so that's been a whole other funny thing is, like, I don't know why I had in my head that after we were filming, it was just kind of, like, done for me. I'm like, yay, we got all the things that we needed. Now it's going to be amazing. But post-production is an entire other different beast. Like, you have someone who's in charge of sound mixing, someone who's in charge of color grading, which is, like, making each one of the stills look better, essentially. Someone who's in charge of editing, ADRs to do extra voices. But we are making a lot of progress right now. We're almost done with a first rough cut. But then after the rough cut, I will bring it to my producers and then everybody gets to give notes and then we give more notes and we probably will have our full thing done by the end of March. And then it's kind of a waiting game because I want to submit it to festivals. So I probably wouldn't start showing it until either the end of this year or the beginning of next year, depending on what it gets into. So it kind of depends either way, but ultimately probably the end of this year.
Yeah.
Which is very exciting, but it's also like,
do you have to do like more crowdfunding and everything? Do you have to like get it, like get money to do that kind of stuff for you guys?
Yeah, we kind of worked exactly. Yeah, we worked that into like what we had already raised. The budget that I had already included all the post-production stuff. So we pretty much hit what we wanted to do. And then I am just covering the rest. And then if anything else comes up, I don't think there really would be anything else that comes up. So yeah, ultimately what we have right now was kind of perfect and it feels really good to like have that and really good to have it be something that I wanted it to be, because asking for money and crowdfunding is definitely, you know, you don't get to do that all the time. It's kind of like you get one shot to be like, here's now how I'm going to prove that this is everybody's donations went to something great and look at how amazing this is. Cause now it's kind of like, all right, now hopefully this gets into something and that opens a door. And then theoretically moving forward, someone else will give us money to make the film instead of having to do it ourselves. So that's a nice little like first step in that route to bigger budget stuff is definitely the best.
Just kind of being positive about it and agreeing to do other projects, probably, you know,
absolutely.
It's probably just staying, you know, staying in the games however you can.
Absolutely, for sure. And so now I actually, two of my friends and I started meeting already about writing something else. And then it kind of works out because we already have our locations down. This one's going to be just two actors in one location. So that cuts down the budget by, you know, half at least.
Have you ever thought of doing a live show?
Gears.
Have you ever thought of a
live
show?
Oh my God, I don't know about that.
Why?
like a stand-up show or like
no.
a like, what kind of show?
Like we were saying, you have to like turn your hustle. Like it has to be, you know, you get people to come out and spend their money. Like that's what I like
about
Buffalo. Like how Lou was saying, Buffalo people are real people. It's like, on the other hand, like, you know, when we put the show up, like people come out and spend their money. It's like, you know, they're real people.
Oh,
it's
absolutely.
Not just like numbers or listeners on the podcast. It's like real
people. Yeah, no, we do. So one of my friends and I do every 4 months, we do an event called, we call it Soup Screenings, and it's basically for up and coming filmmakers to showcase their work. So we have a submission process, and then we have judges that go through and we pick about 10 shorts, and then we always rent out a theater, and then people come, and then we mingle afterward and do a Q&A. And so it's really cool to kind of create that community of like, you wrote a script, now you need a director. Okay, you just went to Soup Screenings and that director just had something show, and now you have their number because you met them at the event. So that's been really cool because she was also a producer on my short. So I feel like that has definitely been a way for us to be like, hey, this is us. This is more of our personalities. Because, like you said, it's hard to gather really what someone's doing off of their social media or off of what they're talking about online. So that has definitely been a way to like create the community of artists that everyone knows what everyone is doing. So that's been really fun. And I feel like that has definitely helped, especially with me, with my crowdfunding of like, okay, I know Meredith and she does this event and she's worked on X, Y, and Z. So now maybe I'm more inclined to donate to her project because I've already seen something she's done before.
And all the
So in
camaraderie.
that sense, yeah, exactly. So in that sense, yeah, definitely. And I would love to at some point kind of piggyback off Lou, like do something like that, like a either like a one woman show, or I haven't done a play really since college, pretty much. So something like that, more live action, would definitely be really fun because it's such a different beast than camera.
Well, let us know. Mark, he's got some stages going.
Yeah, we're trying to get something going.
Yeah, I'd love to. I would absolutely love to. Maybe I'll try to get my tight five and do a little stand up for you guys.
Well, yeah, it really sounds like you know what you're doing. If anything, like this became like you it sounds like you really know what's happening. Like you're using words that I don't understand a lot. And
Oh
like
no.
good,
Oh no, being the
no.
film person. Damn it.
So if anything,
Yeah,
this is
no, it's
giving you like a
definitely been
great
a lot of
experience.
learning. I was nervous. I was telling my mom, I'm like, what if I get on? And I'm like, I don't know what to say. I just sound like a dumbass the whole time.
Jim does a
So
good
good. I'm
job
glad
here.
it's going well. He does a great job. You guys are amazing. This is so cool.
Well, you can't get better than that to end on, Marky. Meredith, she's an actress, she's a writer, she's a director. Look for her everywhere. Look for an Overturned. And Meredith Vivian, you are now licensed to talk.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care, Meredith. We'll look for your stuff.
Okay,
Support
cool.
this
I was like,
girl.
I didn't know if it was still recording.
I don't know what just clicked out or something. No, but thanks so much. Good luck with everything going forward.
Thank you guys. This was amazing. And absolutely, I also too, me and some of my friends will be coming back for the award parade. So hopefully I run into you guys then. It's really funny because I bring some of my friends like that are not from Buffalo and they live for Molly's. They we went last year we went to, I think it was either last year or the, I think it was the year before that actually. And we went to Potter's and there was like a huge fist fight and everyone was just like, how, what? And I'm sitting there and my dad's in
You're
the
like, it's
corner
a
just
family
smiling,
reunion.
watching. Yeah, literally. And my friend was like, why is no one moving? I'm like, this is just whatever. Everyone's vibing. They're having a good time. So they love the whole experience. So every year they're like, when are we going back to the ward parade? I'm like, oh, I got you, baby. So we'll be back up to no good, I'm sure.
Excellent.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a good one. Thank you.
Bye-bye.